Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers and with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You got yourself dried off since Saturday?
Aye, just a booze soaked to the skin with that game.
It was a bit dreich in the unseasonal weather, but I think it was worthwhile going anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Before we start, we're going to wish Michael Dunlop a happy birthday. You may have seen today on our social media. Young man turns 37, so best wishes to him. So, Saturday, big win, massive result. What more could we have asked for?
In a weird way, it was almost the ideal performance. We spoke previously, once we got a fully fit team out in the pitch, that the result would come. The result did come on Saturday, and it was backed up by probably the best performance of the season.
Now, I'm going to just get it out there straight away. Last week I said that if Ferry was fit, he was going to start, he was going to play, and the weather, if it was rubbish, was going to play in our favour. So that's my two predictions
for
the season. That's me done. No more. But those two things actually did happen. So, yeah, quick on that, the weather, obviously the attendance, we were expecting a big crowd. 610 was the attendance. I guess the weather probably put off the sort of casual fans, if you like.
Yeah, I would think so. It got up Saturday morning, as you said, it was quite a dreich day, so I think it was a day for much people going to Fitbab, but disappointing that it was only 610, but you can sort of see why.
We had our aisle skins and I on as in preparation for that, so yeah.
Still
got soaked, yeah. So, yeah, the changes, again, he likes a few changes. Two again this week, Ferry and Conroy started for Armour and McAllister, and it went back to a 4-1-4-1 formation. And that, you'd actually think that's quite a defensive formation, but actually it allows some of the guys in midfield to get forward and join in. As we've said before, sometimes McAllister or Lyle, whoever it is, it's up front, seems to be
a bit isolated.
So it, yeah. With Ferry holding, it allows the guys in front of him just to get up and get into attack.
Yeah, we've seen that on Saturday. Like I said, Simon Ferry was back, marshalled the defence pretty well. He just screens in front of that back four, which I really like. It allowed Brown and Fraser to go and be more expressive in midfield, get on the ball. What I did like on Saturday was their passing as well. It wasn't just passing for passing's sake. They were looking for that insightful ball, the penetration in behind the defence, trying to work up and link it into Conroy, Leach as well, and Lyle. I thought his hold-up play, Lyle, on Saturday was really good as well. So everything sort of worked really well now that Simon Ferry came back, and it shows his qualities. He's a real good player.
We're going to mention again, I'm going to touch on a little bit more on Simon Ferry, specifically a little bit later. So, with the game itself, we've been saying for the last few weeks, the manager have been saying in the last few weeks, we're looking for breaks. And we certainly got that with the first goal. A bit of a howler for the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's been a nasty wee bobble right in front of it. Thankfully for us, it's happened. But the play for Scott Brown as well, he's forcing the ball back. He's done it on the left-hand side. He's forced it back to keeper. He's made the error, but he's followed it and he hasn't just stopped. He's kept going. But it's smart thinking as well. He's, rather than the ball coming at him and lashing a volley over or a header, he's actually picked out Jack Leach, who's on the turn, taking a shot, and it's gone at the back of the net. So it's quick thinking from both our guys to finish that off.
And it's a really good finish, actually, because it's on the turn.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be quite easy for him to hit that, and it would disappear into the back of the car park. But it's a smart finish. And that kind of summed up the game, really, because it was... It seemed to be a bit more high press, and everybody was getting in the tackles. I mean, at one point we saw in the second half, McAllister was even in a left back position getting in and tackling, and that was something that's been missing for the last few weeks.
Yeah, there was a point in the second half, just actually in front of us. There was two challenges made consecutive, and we've won the ball and we're pressing every opportunity, and it's falling to McAllister, who's just had a shot over. A couple of weeks ago, we did question whether there was that hunger and aggression and were challenges. It was there on Saturday. We've said before, once we've got something to hold on to, we'd maybe see that come through a wee bit more defenders putting their body on the line. It was all there on Saturday, and it was a really good performance throughout the whole team.
But as the first half kind of progressed, Wraith had little or to no chances. If I top my head, there was a header went wide, and then there was a long range effort, and that was pretty much their first half. Which, for a team who was league leaders, you would expect a lot more.
I'd expect it a little bit more. Thankfully, it didn't happen. But as you said earlier, as we started, the weather probably played a part in it. I didn't really fancy coming up to a cold, windy Dreich Balmoor, and it's paid out in our favour.
It's like the old adage, if you can do it on a cold Tuesday in Stoke, well, it should be a cold, wet Saturday in Peterhead, maybe now. But yeah, even into the second half, they seemed a little bit shaken as well. They didn't seem to really create much until they were two down, really.
Yeah, I think they had maybe a 5-10 minute period at the start of the second half, just as the rain went off. But again, it was a deflected cross to went out for a corner, and then a good save by Fleming. Not really much to write home about, but I think that was down to our good shape. We mentioned Simon Ferry. He's controlling the back line as well. And I think that really helped us.
The second goal was worth the admission fee itself, because it's the kind of thing we have been hoping to get for Gary for the last few weeks. Jim said in his press after the game that's the kind of thing he'd seen him do, or he'd been YouTubing him, I think he said, his goals at Quarter Thistle. So he is capable, but I think we've said before as well, he is been struggling for his fitness, his match sharpness, because he hasn't played a lot of games. So the more he plays, I think the more we'll see that kind of play for Gary, and maybe some of their goals as well.
Yeah, he was my man in the match on Saturday, but you know there could have been quite a few people might have said other players. Like you said, coming back to fitness, getting into his stride, best player in the park for me. Lovely finish. We've been on the receiving end of some really good goals in the last month or so. So it was nice for us to get a good goal ourselves.
And if you were a neutral at that game and you said that one team's top of the league, one team's lost four in a row, I think you'd be struggling to pick which one was which, really. And I think you'd probably think it was Wraith that had lost four in a row, because they just seemed so lacking in confidence, which is unbelievable.
That to me is credit to Mark and Ollie and the team as well, because results have been going our way. Easy for the chips to be down, thinking, oh, we're playing against league leaders, you know, and not to really fancy it. But they went into the game, and right for the word go, high press and good tempo at the game. And ultimately, that's what's got us a win, that press.
And even at 2-0 down, it was a case of the tackles were still getting in, the blocks, everything that we said was been missing in the last few weeks was there. There was a desire, there was an effort, and everybody just played their part. It was defending for the front all the way through the team, and that's exactly what we've been needing. We said last week about Dumbarton doing that in the previous game, and I think the guys did exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah, I think it was in the Dumbarton game that we maybe did query, or maybe it was down at Falkirk. So we queried about the challenges not coming in from our guys and whether we were standing off a wee bit too much. But that high pressing desire getting into the Wraith team, to me, they didn't have fancy coming up here in the conditions that they were in.
No, so and they've got to come back up again at some point in the season again, so hopefully it's another Dreich day. But then, obviously, 2-0 down, they lose a bit of discipline, their discipline slightly. Ian Davidson's red card, bit of a shocker, lets his cell down, lets his team down in that stage of the game.
I'm not really sure if he's arguing about
It was definitely a foul. He cluttered, I think it was McAllister, from behind. It's a foul. You get one beat. But he's obviously said something or done something that it warranted a red card, because nobody else really seemed to complain about it.
No, he sort of had a bit of a paddy on his way out as well. Once he got shown the red card, he was still mouthing off the referee. We said a couple of months ago now, when Rory got sent off, a couple of months ago, that I was disappointed with his experience, and I'm sure the Wraith manager, John Glynn, will be disappointed with his player as well. He's 35 years of age. You can't be throwing your toys out the pram when you've been sent off. Like I said, he's obviously said or done something. A referee doesn't like it. You know, suck it up and get on with it, sort of thing.
I actually thought he was going to get sent off a second time, because the referee did actually gesture or put his hand towards his pocket a second time. So I thought it was going to be an old Dean Windass situation.
Yeah.
Sent off three times in the game. Fortunately, the tunnel at Peterhead isn't in the corner, so the corner flag was pretty safe.
But I think at that point, was that about 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, something like 17-15.
All right, hypothetically, if Wraith had gotten the next goal in the game with 5-10 minutes to go, the way I don't think we would have not won the game had we conceded, but it might just put doubt in the defender's mind. Aye. Or you drop that bit deeper. So, you know, him getting sent off, it just sort of made it a little bit easier for us.
Yeah, because at that point, even Peterhead had made two changes, because Lyle came off quite early in the second half.
Yeah, Stevenson was off early as well.
So there were already the two changes there. There probably would have been an argument for if they'd gotten a goal, Peterhead might have capitulated slightly or panicked a little bit, considering how...
Which would have been undeserved had Wraith gone something out of the game. Also, hypothetically speaking.
No, exactly. The two changes that he made, Lyle obviously came off from McAllister. And again, Jim's press after, he'd said that he considered playing the two, but after chatting to the two of them on his Friday, went with the one, and he needs to manage those two. Because obviously Lyle's age and McAllister's continuing to carry this injury. Is that something that's going to prove a bit more difficult as the season progresses? Or if we get results like this, then fine, it's not going to be a problem. But we still obviously await McAllister's first goal.
Yeah, I think if we've, barring the injuries and suspensions, you'd like to think it would work out. Obviously, can't predict the future, but if there was the option, maybe... obviously, he's got Ben Arm or Aidan Smith. He can sort of rotate it a wee bit. It doesn't just have to be Lyle and McAllister. I would like to think it could work out.
I mean, if he's going to manage them, then I think there's nobody better to do that. He knows them, and he knows them well. So if he's going to get 60 minutes out of one and then 30 minutes out of another one, and then maybe the full week... It's a reverse sort.
It's good competition from both of them as well.
And I think if he's going to... it looks like he might just continue with the one up front anyway. So managing them both and, as I say, getting 60 minutes here and 30 minutes here and there might help. The other change he made as well, Stevenson come off. We're hoping that's an injury. He did seem to come off quite quick in the second half. And then Ferguson played it right back again, so hopefully we don't see too much of an injury to him again. And then Armour came on as well. He got another run off the bench. But interestingly, Smith didn't play again, which is about two or three games now he hasn't really featured.
Yeah, it seems to be since I thought he played really well against Airdrie, then Jim's decided, I'm not going to play him.
You've bigged him up too much. Aye, so maybe, we don't know too much of what's happening in there, but Smith played pretty well, even though the results weren't going. Maybe there's someone else there that
we don't know.
He's got everybody back to full squad for the first time in
a long time. Yeah, I think that was the strongest bench we've had this season as well. When you look at it, obviously McAllister, Smith, Ferguson, Eddie Dunlop, you know, for substitutions to be happening, he's got a good talent on the bench
and
as well.
And any one of those could actually start as well. And
there's an argument to say that.
There's nobody there that you could say, well, they're just there making up the numbers. So we said at the beginning there, Ferry come back. We're going to touch on a little bit on what we're going to call the Simon Ferry factor, and what he brings in and why the results seem to be slightly better when he's playing. He missed the previous three. And obviously, those were three defeats in a row. So, what does he bring to the game then, and why does things seem to be slightly different when he's playing?
Well, for me, he does two things. He marshals the back line really well. He's very vocal, and you know, if he sees a problem, he's quick to highlight it, and it seems to be sort of rectified on the pitch. But he breaks things up as well, but it allows players ahead of him to go and express. He's now got run left, right and centre doing the wings and whatnot. He's going to sit there, he's going to get the ball, he's going to play a pass into Fraser, into Brown. They can look up, and that's what he did for me against Raith. He sat there, marshalled the defence, and he allowed Brown and Fraser to go and do their thing. And obviously we've seen the just rewards of that as well.
He allows, as you said, the midfield. In fact, he allows the four that's in front of him to get up in the attack.
Yeah, they can rely on Ferry being there, so they can go and attack and be expressive. They don't need to be looking over their shoulder worrying Fitz behind.
And even Paddy Boyle or Stevenson, it was on Saturday, they can get forward as well, knowing that they've got the cover there as well. But the one thing that he does for me is that he's not the captain, but he's very much a leader. You said he marshals everybody, but he's very vocal because... You know, we hear him constantly, constantly during the game. But what he does is he's quick to get on somebody's back if he thinks they've done something they shouldn't have done. But what's the sign of a really good leader is that he's also quick to praise as well, because a lot of people can criticise, but it takes a special kind of leader to praise his fellow teammates as well. So that I think is one of the things, because. His teammates, his players, are going to get a bit of a lift. So, like, we're at. And they said he marshals everything round about him, not just the defence, but you hear him. He's getting his midfielders or Lyle or McAllister, whoever is up front. He's constantly talking. Which I suppose it shouldn't be really surprised considering what he does on the side. It's what he does.
Well, that's one of the things, we can't repeat what he says, but he is vocal and he gets it across to his teammates.
He's very vocal. And he said he gets the tackles in as well. He's got high energy. Obviously he's not box to box, but he'll get across that back line and he covers well.
One of his challenges can set off, you know, a string of high press and just has a knock on effect.
Well, I think the second goal on Saturday came from his tackle, or at least he was there and getting involved, and he quickly passed it out to Fraser. Again, Fraser was in that sort of left-back position, and all of a sudden there's a counter-attack on.
Two passes later,
and we're up at the other end. So, yeah, that's possibly what we've been missing for the last few weeks. I would say his injuries maybe have been as hampered his career slightly, which is... which is not what you want as a professional or a semi-professional footballer.
Frustrating.
He has been. But he's played at a reasonably high level as well. I mean, he played down in England for Swindon and Portsmouth, Premier League with Dundee as well. And I mean, when he was at Swindon and Portsmouth, I don't know if he was actually officially club captain, but he was certainly captain during games there. So there's definitely a leader there. There's definitely somebody that can... I can get on people's backs if they need to, but as I said, praise them at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see what he's going to do after. You know, when he hangs up his boots, whether or not that's, you know, if he's going to go into coaching or management or something like that, or if he's going to continue with what he's doing. Because I'd like to see him stick around, and you know, he seems to have the attributes to be a good coach or a good manager.
He seems to enjoy his football as well.
Yes.
Which is important.
Which I think is probably why he's still with Peterhead, because it gives him the opportunity to enjoy his football, as you say, as well as do his other outside stuff
it's
as well.
Testament to Jim and Peterhead that we've got a player like Simon as well.
Yeah.
You know, we've kept him at the club.
Kept him there for a while, because he's been there, I should say it's his fourth or fifth season now. And he's still only 31. I mean, we're saying that Michael Dunlop's 37 and Derek Lyle 38, and they're still playing. So, in that kind of sense, okay, maybe he's not going to be playing at 37 in a holding midfielder role. But yeah, he's we've got a good few years with him. So
I'm sure we'd still hear him shouting for the stands if he wasn't playing.
He'll still have something to say. So, presumably, if he's still fit and raring to go, he'll be first on the team sheet for Saturday's game against Clyde, you would think.
It would be hard to drop anyone, I think.
Yeah.
Based on that result and performance, I think if anybody was dropped, you would feel very hard done by.
I think straight away, you'd be looking at dare I say, not changing the team. Which
now that we've said that, there'll be five changes.
Jim does like a change. You never know. He might give Lenny Wilson a game. You never know. That may be the only change. But yeah, so obviously the next game is Clyde away. We're League Two rivals, shall we say. We've said before, and we're looking at the other teams' stats, and I think we've said teams have been inconsistent. And maybe that's been maybe too harsh on these teams, because what we're getting from everybody else is that they can take points off each other. It is a tight league, it's a tight compact league. This is a team that has beaten Falkirk twice and not conceded a goal against them, but yet last week lost 3-0 to Stranraer.
Yeah,
it's very difficult. It's a very difficult league. The last six have drawn one, lost one. They've drawn one, lost, drawn one, lost. That's the pattern. So the pattern being continued would be a draw.
Yeah, try to figure out if it's like a Clyde team's got to turn up.
Yeah,
could be the biggest challenge that Jim faces this week.
The last game at Balmoral ended 1-1. I think we both agree that we really should have gotten more out of that game, having played the majority of it with 10 men as well.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I don't think we had much chances after that. I think we were actually disappointed with the performance, and we actually thought that if Clyde had won on the day, we couldn't really argue it going on the chances that they had. So hoping for a better performance on Saturday, but on the back of that, a good win against Raith, I'd imagine confidence will be really high, and will be, you know, quite positive going down to Clyde.
Yeah, the confidence should be high. Barring any injuries this week, you'd expect the team to be exactly the same. Their main threat, obviously, is going to be David Goodwillie. He's got 11 goals this season, top goal scorer in the league. He's got 11 of their 17 goals. So if you can nullify that threat, I mean, if he gets himself sent off again, then that's it. Nullified. That will help. But if you can nullify his threat, their goals are fairly scarce.
Aye, going by the start you've just said there, you'd imagine that if we kept him quiet, they wouldn't have much other options. But we've just got to guard a wee bit against, you know, complacency against that. Obviously, if you marshal Goodwill, you've got to bear in mind that the other players are there. You know, like you said, they've beaten Falkirk twice, so they are a good team, not to be underestimated. But they have lost 3-0 to Stranraer. We're coming on the back of a 2-0 win against Raith, so fingers crossed for that, another positive result.
Positive result. And this is what we've been saying as well, that once we get that one result, once we get that one break, the goalkeeper's howler in the game Saturday, things will start to work out again. So
yeah, when you look at what happened in Montrose, you know, they hadn't won in six, they played us, they've now won five in a row. So, you know, it shows you one result can make a big difference, and hopefully this really kickstarts your season.
Yeah. So their last four at home, they've had two wins, a draw and a loss. And again, you could go down there and say, right, you get happy with a draw, or you're looking at the teams running about you again and say, well, okay, Stranraer won last week, Montrose have won again last week. Is a point then, 2 points dropped? Obviously, if you're 2-0 doing a half time and you come back fit and if you draw 2-2, then that's a point gained.
Yeah.
But yeah, but going away from home, getting a point at Clyde, is that really a good result, or anything less is required?
It's one of them on paper. Going away to Clyde, you take a point, but you want 3 points. If we had drawn the game against Raith or lost it, you come in, you look at your scores round about you. Like you said, Montrose won, and so did Stranraer. So, had we gotten a draw, we might have thought, oh, that's a good result, a positive one. We've gotten a draw, then you find yourself, teams round about you have won as well. So, it is crucial that, you know, we don't get detached. But, hey, we're on the back of a good performance, good result. So, I'm going to say that we're going to go down to Clyde and win.
That was a kind of funny thing, because you're not cruising against Raith. But you're almost sort of guaranteed yourself 3 points a week 10 minutes ago. Then you look at the other results and go, oh, it's just typical, isn't it? Because that's how things are going. We're actually in a position for where we can start pulling away from these teams, and then all of a sudden they're winning as well. So again, just goes back to that point of everybody can beat anybody. So hopefully it's the start of a run of wins, because the next three fixtures are against the teams round about us after Clyde, so they're going to be really, really big games.
Yeah, so they're the crucial ones.
Yeah, before you go into those, you don't want to be falling behind and then playing catch up. So yeah, positive result doing it Clyde.
It just shows you what a couple of weeks, you know, a difference can make, because we spoke a few weeks ago going into the Raith game and going into Clyde, obviously not winning. You start to look at the fixtures coming up and you start to maybe panic, but you've got a slight concern, and then here we are at the back of a 2-0 Raith win and we're thinking we can go down to Clyde and a draw might not be a good result.
Aye, it shows you the difference. We're going to go undefeated the rest of the season. That's what we're at. So, Clyde on Saturday, I think, if all goes well, another win. Again, we take a clean sheet and a 1-0.
Yes, that win, certainly.
We don't need to worry about goal difference and things like that. So, yeah, positive result against Clyde. And then on to the three big games against our teams round about us after that. So, yeah, that would do be positive result, 1-0, 2-0, whatever it is. Just go for the win.
Yes, come up the road with 3 points would be the ideal result.
Yes, absolutely. So that's us for another week. Thanks again for listening and all your feedback as usual. And we'll be back next week again, and hopefully with back-to-back wins to talk about. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.